It's Sunday afternoon at Clay Boatwright's home in Plano. He has a 17-year-old daughter. She's up in her room, and two twin 14-year-old girls. Mia is out by the pool with her mother, and Paige is upstairs watching a DVD of Frozen. It's a typical Sunday afternoon, but the twins are not typical. Clay explains that they have severe intellectual disabilities and autism.
A lot of people don't know what that means. What does severe mean? Even though they're 14, they're nonverbal. They still need a lot of help going to the bathroom, bathing, things of that nature. And they're prone to some really, I use the word apocalyptic, level meltdowns. And you never quite know when that's going to occur.
For Clay and his wife Carol, caring for the twins, there are lots of surprises. For example, during our interview, Mia walks into the room without wearing any clothes. That's okay.
Hang on, sorry. Hey. Actually, it's funny that happened. I was literally about to say, if you see somebody naked running through the house, don't worry about it. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Welcome to my home. You enter, you take your own risks.
Okay, it's radio. Over the years, Boatwright says he's experienced more than his share of autistic surprises and household disintegrations, one of which led to a moment of clarity.
Not long after Paige and me were diagnosed, we were having a really rough day here at home, and it was a Friday night. Paige and Mia were having massive meltdowns. My wife was extremely upset. Our oldest daughter was crying because everybody else was upset. And I was actually back in our bedroom. And I was trying to lay down and go to sleep. But with everyone screaming and upset, it was hard to do that. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, I basically got mad at God. And I said, all right, God, why did you do this to Paige and Mia? And just to be blunt, why did you do this to me and to my family? And that's what I was thinking about when I fell asleep that night. The next morning, Saturday morning, I woke up. And it was like waking up on a mountaintop, just like in a like a breath of fresh air, just like totally rejuvenated. And the very first thought that entered my head was to help people like Paige and Mia, which I interpreted as to help people with severe disabilities. And I tell you that story because I have no doubt in my mind that while I was asleep, the Holy Spirit literally answered my question. I asked God, why did you do this? The Holy Spirit told me, it was to get engaged and start helping people like Paige and Mia's level of development.
Boatwright got involved and eventually joined the board of the ARC of Texas, which advocates for persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And he was appointed by President Barack Obama to the President's Committee for People with Intellectual Disabilities. In Boatwright's involvement, he's gotten to know the complex system of care options available in Texas as well as anyone. And he's still not clear on what the future will hold for Paige and Mia when they become adults.
They'll probably live in either a community home type scenario or something that we need in Texas. Options which are provide greater more services and the ability to serve people more than what you can do in a four-person community home. But are not so large that they look like a state institution.
A state institution means the Texas state-supported living centers. These are massive state-run facilities that provide 24/7 residential care for those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Many of the residents also have other medical conditions that require specialized care. The large-scale institutional model has fallen out of favor with many, but Boatwright says it, as an option, is never far from his mind.
When I think about the state-supported living centers, the first thing I think about are the people who live there. And I think about their families 40 years ago who had no other option. They had no choice. There was no IDEA for the school systems to take children who were developed like my children. The only option out there were the state-supported living centers. And when you only have one option open to you, you take it. And I absolutely understand and respect and empathize with those parents 40 years ago, because if we were living then with my children, I absolutely guarantee you my children would be living in a state-supported living center today. I do not doubt that for one second, because I would have taken the only option available to me.
But the future of the state-supported living centers is uncertain, if not bleak. Recently, the Texas Sunset Commission issued a damning report about the centers. It calls for 6 of the centers to be closed. Texas has seen the number of residents at the 13 centers decline over the years, from more than 13,000 at one time to 3,650 today. But Texas has not closed a center since the 1990s.
Sunset took a really hard look at it. They calculated the issue. They found that we really needed to make some bold steps as a state, and we agree with them.
Joe Tate is a policy specialist for Community Now. It's a nonprofit that advocates for the disabled and encourages community living. He says the residents in the centers would be better off living in the community in smaller group homes. It would save money for the state, but more funding is still needed in the other areas.
As the state support living centers begin to downsize, if we don't redirect that money into bolstering the community, then we're going to be even further behind than we already are for caring for people.
The Sunset Commission also took into account the problems with the substandard quality of care and neglect at the state-supported living centers. In 2009, Texas was sued by the Department of Justice for the scandalous conditions at the centers, and the state quickly settled, agreeing to a baseline standard of care. In the agreement, DOJ inspectors would grade the centers, and for the next 5 years, not one living center passed an inspection. But even with these documented problems, the biggest supporters of the living centers are the families who have their loved ones living there. Susan Payne is the president of the Parents Association of the Retarded in Texas.
My sister has lived in a state-supported living center for 42 years. She lived at Corpus, Fort Worth, and now she lives at Denton. I've never seen any abuse. I've seen loving care. You know, our family members firmly believe that the lives of their loved ones depend on these services.
Payne says she's never seen an instance of abuse at the centers, and she's opposed to closing them down. And she says the way the DOJ's grading system works gives the false impression that the conditions are much worse than they actually are.
As a matter of fact, and the way this, the Department of Justice settlement agreement works is there's no middle ground. Either in each category, you are 100% in compliance or non-compliant. So there have been great strides in all of the areas in the state-supported living centers to become compliant.
Payne says the living centers have been graded too harshly, and many of the residents would not be better off if the centers were closed and if they were put into community homes. But Haley Turner, an advocate supervisor for Disability Rights Texas, maintains the living centers are substandard, even if the families can't see that.
We've put a ton of money into these facilities, and it appears years later that we've learned that it may not be fixable, that there may be institutional things happening that can never be fixed. No matter how hard people try, no matter how much money we dump into them, they just can't be fixed.
Haley says Texas could finally be ready to make big changes in the way that it treats the intellectually and developmentally disabled persons in the state. But there are still lots of questions about what form those changes will take.
I think there's a lot of uncertainty. I think everyone's read the Sunset Report, but we don't actually know what's going to happen. You know, there are recommendations, and we don't know. I think we don't know what's going to happen with DOJ. So you have all these things swirling, and I don't think any of us have an answer about what the future looks like.
According to the Sunset Commission, maintaining this large system of state-run facilities is costly. Involving more than 13,900 employees and a budget of $662 million a year. If the legislature follows the Sunset Commission's recommendations, Texas could save $98 million by 2020 by closing the 6 facilities. But in the end, it'll be up to the legislature to make those decisions. In a statement, San Antonio Democrat State Senator Carlos Uresti said, "The Sunset staff report recommendation is a step in the right direction, but I believe it is premature to single out any specific location or number of living centers to close. To do what's best for some of our most vulnerable Texans, the 84th legislature will have to study this issue with the help of experts and advocates to ensure those Texans are properly cared for, no matter where they reside." David Martin Davies, Texas Public Radio News.